Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. Pleased to be with you today. We're also pleased to welcome back our special guest, Rick Fawcett, Vice President Operations at Good Group. How are you doing, Rick?
Doing very well, especially now that the weather's improved.
Yeah, oh, most definitely. So today we're going to take a look at a topic that we have a strong interest in, and I'm sure you do as well, Rick. It's looking at industry support to the reconstitution and modernization of the Canadian Armed Forces. I know you've got your eye on that and you're involved with it. And of course, your company specializes in technology solutions, so it makes total sense to me. Why don't we get started with talking about why right now is there such a need for additional support for the CAF?
That's a really good question. And I, you know, before I actually get into the answer, I have to say that if we had done this podcast a couple of weeks ago, it would have gone in a certain direction. Last week during the CAF outlooks, it started to emerge, you know, evolve a bit. And now after the outlooks and having thought about it for a week, it's really starting to solidify what the issue is. So first, the why. I mean, everyone knows the problems the CAF has with just capacity. It's well documented, if you like, that in media. Army, Navy, Air Force leadership talk at length about the challenges they have. At the same time, the global situation is demanding more and more operational output from the CAF. So more people are being deployed all over the world, you know, further challenging them from a personnel resource perspective. And on top of that, the CDS has directed, you know, the reconstitution effort, which again takes a significant amount of staff to execute. And then just to layer on top of that, the SSC 40 or SSC programs are starting to really come into maturity. So strong, secure, engaged defense policy. And we see already a number of announcements with many more programs, you know, coming down the pipe, all which take significant staff resources to actually plan, then execute. So this is all happening at the same time, which leaves the CAF in a precarious situation where they actually don't have the resources to advance all these agendas at one time. And clearly they're going to prioritize on operations because only they can do the operations. So we, industry in particular, you know, have to look at how we can help do more than we've traditionally done on the reconstitution and on the modernization agendas.
What does more look like to you? Is this part of what's kind of expanded your view for this week's show, Rick?
Absolutely. So the more the term is, you know, industry is used for a number of years about being a better partner, a closer partner. But the one common theme out of last week from the Army, Navy, and Air Force was all about industry partnerships. And now the leadership of the CAF has recognized that they can't do it by themselves. They need to turn to industry. And not in the same ways. Industry has always helped the CAF. Obviously, industry delivers tons of equipment, which will continue to do. Industry has supported the CAF by augmenting their own staff structures, but that's not enough. We now need to go one further. And so what it means to me is for the CAF to be successful in delivering everything they're being asked to deliver, they're going to come to industry as a partner and give them actually responsibility, give them pieces of work that they're responsible to deliver on, which is completely new. In the past, we just helped them do the work. Now they need to start giving whole work packages to industry, you know, running a program, you know, generating, writing, producing all of that documentation required to move through the defense procurement system, helping them with their analysis, helping them with their costing work, helping them with, you know, even their design in a much greater way than that's ever been done in the past. Otherwise, they're just not going to get from here to there.
So you're talking about really a more practical roll up your sleeves, taking on more work and responsibility. In theory, it sounds great, but what are some of the challenges with that? Like how would that work?
So it's not without its challenges. So in simple terms, the way it would work is the CAF, the Indy, would come to industry and say, traditionally they've said, you know, take the, you know, deliver the piece of equipment aside. I need, you know, 25 people to help me do this. Now they would come to industry and say, I want you to produce all of the Defense Services Program documentation for Program X, to generate all of the requests for information, generate the statement of works, generate the request for proposals, and potentially even then evaluate those requests for proposals and give us an answer, which we then contract for. So a completely different perspective. Now, obviously, industry is not going to do this in isolation. The CAF has to maintain responsibility for, A, first identifying their needs. Only the CAF can determine what their operational deficiencies are. Only the CAF can determine what their high-level operational requirements are. You know, you can't hand that to industry. But once those keystone pieces are identified, you can then engage industry in a huge way to take that and drive it down into an RFP, to a program that identifies a specific solution, which has never been done before. It would still be done in the umbrella of the program management offices within D&D and the CAF. The CAF is obviously going to remain overall responsible, financial responsibility. That's just is the way it has to be. CAF remains the absolute holders of the requirements. So industry can't just decide, no, you don't really need to do that. You should do this. Again, the CAF knows what they need, but once that's identified, they can hand off the rest. And just to give a simple example, and this is actually a real case, I was asked to provide four people to conduct a sustainment business case analysis for a system. And my response was, why don't you just ask me to produce a sustainment business case analysis? And I will determine whether I need four people full-time, or five people, six people part-time. I might need, you know, this type of person for a month and then this another skill set for a couple of months. And then I will deliver to you the statement business case analysis. I mean, you've got a documented process of what it's supposed to look at. All of the factors that are considered in the statement business case analysis, they're not secret. They're well known. And you tell me when you need it. And then obviously you need to provide the framework information, and then I will go and do that analysis, produce the reports, and give you your sustainment business case analysis, which you need to move through the defense procurement system. And if you tell me you need it in 6 months, then I cost it and determine how big the team is for 6 months. And if I don't deliver in 6 months, you know, I get penalized for it. If I can deliver it in 5 months, maybe I get a bonus for it. But that's what you need to do it. And then let industry use its own agility, not totally encumbered by the same processes, personnel rules, other requirements that government and defense are, and just say, deliver me this piece of kit. Just like you say, deliver me a truck, deliver me a sustainment business case analysis. And I'm convinced industry can do that without any problems at all.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, as long as, you know, they're in control of the whole process. A proper needs analysis is done. The who, what, when, and where is what I'm hearing. There's lots of good talent out there that could assist with this. And because, you know, some of this talent wouldn't have to work within maybe some of the same infrastructure guidelines, they can probably complete projects quicker. I guess I'd have two questions for you. The first one is, is there an issue of trust or security there that has to be overcome? I guess you figured that was an obvious one coming.
let's do the easy one, security. Industry through the, you know, the PSPC security processes is able to meet the security requirements, both from a physical perspective, a facilities perspective, supply chain perspective. That, I think, is not a major issue. The trust is a concern, and I do wrestle with the trust concept, because this only works if there's trust. And, now becoming a very common operational term is that you can't surge trust. This would apply the same here, too. You need to develop that relationship, and out of that comes a trust between industry and you know, the CAF, the government. And it's not as easy as I would like to think it should be. Number one is you need to develop a process up front so that you can actually select the right industry partner in a fair and transparent way. So competition you run through this process. So that means you actually have to develop an RFP, they being the government, that then can go to industry, that industry can then respond to as a part of the process to selecting this partner. Just the fact that you're going to run a competition, and again, the way our system works is you're going to then rerun that competition 5 years down the road, does actually play against trust. Because I win it, I know I've got it for 5 years. And you know, obviously, as a business, I want to protect that. But that goes against, in a way, the trust, because then you're not being absolutely totally transparent. It also makes it more challenging for industry to work with each other, because the only way this will work is if industry works with other industry partners, because they're the ones who are going to bid. But if I'm trying to protect my business because I'm going to have to recompete in a year, 5 years, whatever it is, that's a bit of a problem. Running the competition, how do you run a competition like this and not get caught up in, you know, the favorite word of gaming, where one industry, you know, competitor, you know, thinks, okay, I can play this game, and, you know, you inevitably end up with not getting who you necessarily want. So you have to run a competition that is open, transparent, and to the point, which can also be a bit of a challenge. I mentioned that the CAF has to do, you know, the high level requirements, identify the capability deficiencies. I sense that even that can be a bit of a challenge for them. Because again, they don't have the capacity to do it. And in some cases, they don't have the technical expertise either, which is another advantage industry has, is industry can go out and get whatever technical capability they need. The CAF can't do that. You grow it internally. And, you know, we use the term purple unicorn all the time. Personally, I don't like the term, for this very unique skill set. The CAF can't develop that themselves. Their training system is not designed to produce the purple unicorn. Industry does have that ability. But again, how do you make sure that's done in a transparent and fair way? So there's providing, you know, not just a high-level requirements, but how are you going to now, or can you, the CAF, D&D, adjust their process to allow for industry's agility? You know, there's all kinds of checks and balances. You develop a statement of requirements. It goes through 1,000 reviews. You know, that's an exaggeration, of course, but it goes through a number of different reviews and steps. If you force industry to do that exact same reviews and steps, you've now just added so much time, and you've taken away the ability to hold industry to account. So if I have to develop you a piece of paper, you know, an output, a product, but you determine, you have to review it 3 times. If as soon as I give it to you, my clock stops because I'm now waiting for you. And if you can't turn it around, which my thesis is they can't, you're going to now start bogging down the system, defeating the advantage of using the agility of industry. So, you know, there's another issue. And I mean, I can go on and on, but the last one I'll mention is conflict of interest. Clearly, an industry partner, can't write a requirement and then bid on that requirement, because they would be clearly advantaged. So now you need an industry partner that is going to be, you know, has the technical expertise in the domain you want to play in or work in, but isn't going to want to bid against that program. Otherwise, you have a conflict of interest. So, you know, you've got that challenge to manage, but you still got to make sure that industry partner has a viable business proposition going forward. So there are some challenges. I don't disagree with that, but I think they're all workable, is my view. And the biggest challenge is going to be is how can defense, modify their processes to advantage, leverage the agility that industry would bring to them in actually delivering these documents, these processes.
If they can, it sounds like probably one of the most effective ways to really support and modernize CAF. You know, as you're talking about this too, I mean, some of it I think is just going to be a trust, time, and vision type of thing. But it sounds like it's workable. I think it's the way of all future projects in the workforce anyways. And the combination would give that agility or flexibility that we're kind of talking about. I want to come at this just from another angle, if I may. So in these departments, everybody's, you know, just trying to meet deadlines, manage projects, and capacity is past the point of being able to do that. So there's bottlenecking, right?
Correct.
By working with industry and actually accomplishing and doing things quicker, it takes the stress off. Does that build better retention within the CAF, in your opinion?
So that's an interesting point. So I would think yes, but I'm glad you mentioned retention, because there's another aspect of retention that I had never thought about. And this is slightly tangential, but I think it's important to consider. So I was talking with colleagues who are still serving last week, and they talked about retention and industry. And what was really interesting is they've come to the conclusion, or they made the observation, that young soldiers like to dabble, and they like to write code and write apps. And this is always something that was envisioned being industry's job, was to build stuff. And then this military would operate it. So as part of this discussion, I think it is important that we now look at, you know, not just from what industry can do for defense, or which traditionally means defense's role, but what can defense do that industry typically does as retention, and the young soldiers writing code. And I know, you know, we tongue in cheek think that all the people, young kids who code, are in their pajamas in their mother's basement, which is partly true, but there's clearly a group of young Canadians who like to code, but also like to go out and work in the field and do that stuff. So, you know, the retention is coming the other way around. I think at the senior level, by relieving some of these, let's face it, less than exciting staff jobs for a military person and giving that to industry, absolutely. You know, no one really wants to go into a program management office, except during actual delivery. During delivery is kind of fun, but during the, you know, identification, pre-definition, definition phases, it's not really what, especially, you know, that, you know, major, young lieutenant, junior lieutenant colonel wants to be doing. They want to be out commanding units, you know, doing the difficult ops staff jobs, things like that. They don't want to be sitting there writing a request for proposal and running that through the system. You know, not exactly motivating work. So yes, there is retention, but I think there's retention from two ends, which, again, 2 weeks ago I would have never considered. But, you know, having thought about it, I think it actually makes perfect sense.
I think so too. I think it's a critical point, and it gives that variety. It gives the experience for people as they're building their career as well. You've been listening to Vanguard Radio. Our special guest today, Rick Fawcett, Vice President Operations with the ADCA Group. And we've been talking about industry support to the reconstitution and modernization of the Canadian Armed Forces. Rick, I want to thank you for coming on again. It's always most interesting. And I'm sure our listenership are going to really enjoy this conversation.
Pleasure as always. Thanks very much.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Vanguard Weekly Podcast Series, CGE Weekly Podcast Series, Vanguard Radio Podcast, and CGE Radio Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Vanguard or any affiliated media products, their employees, or owners. Vanguard Magazine, Canadian Government Executive Magazine, and its affiliates are not responsible for and do not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in this podcast series. This podcast may not be copied or distributed without express written approval of Promotive Communications, Inc., PCI. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast without consent from PCI. PCI assumes no liability for activities in connection with this podcast or for use of this podcast with any other website, computer, or playing device.